my many years of shepherding, I found this thing. Some of us are faced with a lot of problems. Some of us have problems in the church, in the family. No matter what problems, there are two things we need to solve in all the problems. Of course, all these problems can be considered trials, or it can be a temptation. So there are two things. First, in confronting our trials, of course there are grievances in this situation. How do we solve this? So we need to use it. You need to know the gospel. You need to know what is the truth. So how do you confirm with them how in these problems that God still loves the person and God is sovereign? And this, we can really rely on God. So in all these trials, there is a perfect will of God, so that we can comfort the person, so that they will not be discouraged and be anxious. In his life, there's a lot. This is something we need to, you have to deal with it righteously. It's not casual, and you have to be out of a genuine heart, not just casually give him a few words. In the Bible, so it's called a reflective wisdom. So it's to reflect on what God is doing in a person's life, in his trials. What is the good thing that God is doing in this? In the Jewish culture, tradition, there are two things. There is a practical wisdom. What is this practical wisdom? If you look at the Bible, where's this? In Job, in Ecclesiastes. But if you look at Proverbs, there are also a lot of sayings in practical wisdom. If you are faced with a problem, some very practical problem, how do you solve all these problems? Of course, there's a lot of things you can say. What is the perfect will of God? And how God is doing this? So what can really solve a person's problem is this practical wisdom. In these troubles, in this situation, so you need to understand the situation a bit better, the person's better. Sometimes you need to look for if this person is jobless, who can? So if he has a job, 90% of the problems is gone. Sometimes we talk about money problem. If this person's, how do you cut down on the spending? You need to know. So we need the Lobang kings and queens too. So we have all these resources. So this is the practical wisdom that we need to have. so that you can, in what you know, how do you, test the wisdom in all things. You need to have, you need to develop faith. There is the, and then having this first fixed perspective and trusting in His promises. The second thing is really, how do you rely on God? And God has already given His grace in that situation, and there must be a way out for the person He has placed, the resources and the gifts. This is very important. Of course, there is the Book of James. It's also a wisdom book. So we look at the Book of James. There are two. There's the practical wisdom and there's the general wisdom. So let's dig deeper into how James is trying to bring us to develop this practical wisdom. So James chapter 1 verse 5, if anyone needs wisdom, okay. So if you look at so let's see. You must get the you need the doctrine to understand what God is doing in your life. So chapter 1 verse 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God. So there's trials. So God asks us to ask in these trials. Trials refers to the troubles that we go through. But sometimes we want to do things at home, but we face obstacles. Sometimes we may not serve in the church, but we can't serve, but we always face difficulty. This is also a trial. But it's a testing. So it's a testing. God, maybe sometimes God wants to test. So there's a God's purpose in it, so that you can persevere, mature, receive reward. Okay, so look at James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. Then when you read this, unless we go through some difficulties, so let's look at this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How to have trials? So you are logical, emotional, you all hit trials. Why would you consider joy? You dread it. In James, there are five chapters. What trials are they talking? In the audience that James is writing to for this book, So there are people with humble background, and then there are those who are rich. So they may feel like they are not. So they may feel inferior because of their background. So James also talked about, you know, so chapter 5 also talk about some people, those who are rich. I have all these things. Yeah, they all face trials. So actually, James did not talk about so much. So James is not just... So we look at verse 3, because knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and then have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what is this perfect and complete? Of course, after you have gone through this, you are mature. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So they can taste the grace of God. They know, and then when they go through this trust, they can receive this eternal, they can accumulate this eternal crowns. Some people think, can you have joy? Should have joy. So verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to you. So God wants to put you through trials to test you so they can persevere, so you can be complete and mature. But things may not change, but you have been mature. Then you can deal with the situation. Actually, there is a crown in the flesh, in your heart. Maybe you cannot accept it, but in this, you can get this joy. But even in your suffering, there's joy. This is the wisdom. How do you? So James told us, you must ask. So this doctrine can be connected to our life so that we can. This is an important wisdom so that we will not be fearful, so that we can deal with things that we can encounter. So that we will not waver. Don't be double-minded. Sometimes we may insist. So sometimes we start to believe that, we keep believing that God will give. So some people, what they teach, you want to be a healing, you must faith. If you have faith, you will receive healing. If you don't receive, if you don't have faith, you will not receive healing. But actually, it erodes God's sovereignty. actually, so Scott is not talking about these things because if you look at the whole context, right, chapter 1 verse 13, when tempted, no one can should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. When the person goes through a trial, it's painful. It must be God. All these things must be God giving me. Do not doubt God's goodness. You must know the doctrine and receive this wisdom so that your understanding of God, then you can rely on Him and trust Him and help you through this situation. Although it's painful, but God has reasons and His purpose in His... He knows. This is something you need to be absolute. He is a... You must have fixed perspective. You must... You must trust if you can rely on... How do you pray? If you don't have this right understanding, the more you pray, you'll be angrier. So if you don't pray correctly, you'll get angrier as you pray. But verse 17, James reminded us in verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from Father of the heavenly lights. So there's a general wisdom. So what I'm trying to say is today. So but most modern believers, right, do not usually think of wisdom as practical wisdom. Sometimes we think God is love, God will solve us our problem. We will have this. We will think about, I'll settle things on my own. I don't need to rely on God because God has helped me. But they may not reflect on what God is telling us in the Word. So we rely on ourselves, or sometimes we don't do, and we do not think that we need to continue. So the problem exists because you just receive a comfort. So the theme today is developing practical wisdom. How do you develop wisdom? Most of the time we will not think about practical wisdom. We just thought we were develop patience and perseverance, but not doing it. Just knowing, but not really doing. Because the New Testament believers, because the law, what to do, what not to do, actually believers in the new person, they are very careful because our salvation is by faith. It's not true by our works or deeds. So we may not always think about the good works and the good deeds. So, we must do it out of faith and do it cheerfully. And when we learn this, as we do it, then we can see our the fruit. In this, in James, so later we'll look at what James talked about as the law of God. In James, although they are facing persecution, but James did not. So if you are insulted, what do you do? So if people slander you, what do you do? He did not care so much about all this, but what he cares about, he is worried that all these believers, they know a lot of doctrine and teachings. You look at the mirror and then you just go away. I know they just walk away after looking at it. So they hear the word, but they do not do the word. They thought that they have the right doctrine. You have the good theology. That's good enough. What else? So they stop over. They stop there. So what James cares about is more in their life. It's not that he's not worried that they have no knowledge. They have the knowledge, but they. They're still teaching. So in our life, so in all the, how do we go through all the different difficulties in all these things? All this can prove you can prove whether your faith is alive or dead. If you have faith, even the devil has faith. So how do you? You must have active faith that is alive. You need to live it out. Don't just say I know. But knowing is not enough. Your life must have the evidence of your faith. So you must bridge this with the reflective wisdom. First, we try to understand the law. When we say we want to practice, you want to do good works, carry out righteousness. So what is God's righteousness? So the righteousness of God is best revealed in His law. So actually, there's a threefold purpose of the law. First is a mirror. What do you mean by a mirror? So God is perfectly righteous. He created the spirit of man. A mirror. Because it reveals the law. It points out our flaws. It's a restrainer. After it tell you, then there's the punishment if you break the law. When you have this, then people will be afraid. They will restrain themselves. Then they will fear to commit sin. So there is a rebuke element in that. There's an element of punishment in that way. The third one, so it's a revealer of the righteousness. What is this? This is what we want to understand today. This is the practical wisdom. The first two, only this one is only for believers. So for believers, this the last one, last purpose is the most important. It's only given to us. Just like how God has given the law to His chosen people, because when we understand, so when we see this, the law, then we will be amazed by how God is in everything. There is God's love and His concern, and His wisdom is revealed in it, and such that everyone can be, there will be righteousness. So the practical wisdom has to do with this, the third purpose of the law, which is the revealing, to do what is the revealer of righteousness, which is to do what is pleasing to God. So we want to obey, because we received the grace of Christ. God has mercy on us. That's why we are willing to obey. There's the law of liberty, verse 25 and verse James 1, chapter 25. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law gives freedom. And verse 12, it says, so does the law gives you freedom? So when we willingly, cheerfully obey God, this is out of love. We must ask. So after you have carried it out, you will know that God, the law in Romans chapter 7, so the law will, in James, when James talks about law, he talks about it in a positive way. The law can help us so that we can test and approve God's guidance, and then also carry out what is the pleasing to God. What is this? What is the royal law of, in the realm of the kingdom of the king? It is out of convenience. If you do it, if you like it. So if the king in past decree a law, you will not do it only when it's convenient. You have to obey it fully. It's not out of your character. Because James also said, those, if they have broken one law, they have broken all. So you need to obey. It looks like it's a restraining thing. don't find excuse. This tells us not to find excuse. We will find excuses. We will. It's just convenient. It's just it is convenient to me. Then we will lose the blessing of obeying the law. Do not think. It is a royal, it's a glorious, it's dignified. You must obey. Don't give yourself excuses. If you're a personality, you don't like to trouble people. I don't want to trouble people. I want to shepherd others. I don't want to ask them. If you trouble the person will trouble me. If you don't know your trouble, you don't know. You cannot keep thinking, I don't know. If you are a mother, people think you are mommy's boy. So God wants us to mature, to grow, so that we can deal with the situation, the current problems. So there is a lot of So no one can solve the problem. No one else in their nature state they can deal with problems easily. Even after we have matured to a certain age, we will still still encounter new challenges. How do you deal with all these things? You have to ask. You need to understand the situation. You must not be afraid. If you are afraid, you will find a lot of excuses. Why? This is why James, it tells us, it's for your blessing. The law is to help you. It is royal. Don't find excuses. Do not be discouraged. If something is not suitable for you or the person, you must find the solution. If you do something, you hurt a group of people, then you think of a way. So can we? When to do it? What situation? So you don't want to hurt a person. You must find the right reasons. If this person offends the whole community, so you need to use the whole community to, you need to deal with him from a community perspective. So when I'm doing the audio, so you adjust the sound, but there's so many people who are hearing this. If there's a problem, can let go to it, you can. Everybody will be affected. You cannot see. It's not really looking for giving excuses. This is a very practical thing. You need to deal with it quickly. One person may be stressed. So there's a lot of stress in this. We need to do that. it's even the worship. So sometimes so there's this fear about of the worship team, you know, when the newcomers come, they think they are not giving the best to the Lord because they care about the glory of God. But don't be so afraid that you keep comforting yourself. You must make it better. You need to make it better. So if you're not successful, then we need to meet and discuss what was your situation, what's the problem. Then you can have the decision. Number three. So we need to go to the details. So how do you carry out, put the practical wisdom into practice? Being God-driven, okay. What is God-driven? It's actually being strong in gentleness. And seeking to move, to know more, to apply all things. So, sometimes we have a wrong understanding of God-driven. God-driven means, so men don't need to move. Men just wait. So the opposite of God-driven is man-driven. Man-driven, you have your carry, react in flesh, you have your action. Then all, if in the church, everyone is God-driven in this way, what will happen? Nobody takes the initiative. You need to learn this. When I lead a cell group, I'm very nervous. I wasn't that nervous in the past. So you just, God will surely be with me. I realize it's not right. I need to think very fast. I need to listen to. So there's a meaning in. So if I share this, would it disrupt the whole meeting? How do you comfort? How do you calm a person down? You must think quicker than the 10 person. This is something very nervous. How can you not be nervous? If you want to be healed in the mind, body and spirit, you need to be. Then I realized it's not God-driven. It's not that you, God moves and then you follow. God is doing in this. So we look at chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Who has wisdom? So verse 13, you must show it out. How do people know you have wisdom? You need to show it. You show it. It's not something that only you know. The good works must come from it. It's not just being passive and let people take initiative. So, it is so there is this humility that comes from wisdom. It means you are teachable, you are learning from each other, humble. It is really relying on God. Sometimes you need to, what is being God-driven, you must know. the law of God, how can it live in me and for me to live it out? Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Sorry, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. So from my experience, if you don't know, you don't ask, then you just receive a lot of insinuation. Then your bitterness will grow. So you feel hurt. Or sometimes, why do people feel hurt? Because you did not confirm. And then you just ask a very direct question. The person is hurt. Where do you hear about my private matters? Sometimes people may not want so gentleness. You must test and approve. But when you want to show concern for a person, you must check. Does he know that I know? If he doesn't know that I know, then if I ask directly, it's very strange. So they may start to... Maybe there are more who knows about this. So he may feel very hurt. So we must really observe this and monitor this. So in some other examples, when we answer people, don't answer as though you know a lot. So if you use a verse, so there's a lot of authority to the word in the word of God. So when you talk to a person, then you suddenly quote a verse. If you have self-awareness, some people, this is the highest standard. If you don't know the situation, you just give him a verse. You are actually judging the person because you don't know his situation. This is the highest. This is from the word of God. So here, we must have the wisdom. This person, you must have the wisdom. The other person must also be able to sense your wisdom. Do not be self-seeking. Do not just have things that you want. You must have self-control. Do not be so insistent on having things your way. Because when you are so insistent and stubborn about things done your way, so you do not have the heart to want to submit to others, and you do not have the heart to want to learn from others. If you do this, you will lose because you keep giving. So when we go for a mission trip with Pastor, he's always listening. So he's also learning. Oh, so this person is like this. So he increases his knowledge because so you are always learning, always asking. So everyone, some people are always learning how to connect. there is no opportunity for the gospel, are there people, are there sheep of God here? How do you know the sheep? It's not. Who is humble? Who is teachable? All this. So when I do audio, Joshua and me, I go to other places. You listen. So, of course, there are some speakers in IKEA. You also listen. Of course, you can't use it in church. Everywhere you are learning, how do you have wisdom? God has given us this brain. It's not like hard disk. There's the brain that God has given us, the storage is unlimited. The more you can take in, the more you can. This is the wisdom. The more you know, then you can systemize it and you can link it up. Then you can have more, even more. You can put in even more. So in doing all these things, verse 14, we must this meekness and humility, we must connect to our words. That's what we read in verse 13 and 14. Do not boast and do not oppose the truth. So don't be a hypocritical person. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. So if you don't know what to do, you ask. So that people know you don't know, then he will tell you what you ought to know or give you the knowledge. A lot of people wants to give. Many people like to talk about their own things. You just ask. You show concern. If a person you need to verse 15. Such wisdom does not come from heaven but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. From where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every practice. What is this earthly wisdom? What is this? If people insult you, you insult the person back. Righteous, you thought this is righteous. You thought this is right, this is fair. So you repay evil with evil. If you don't do, if you did not, there is a bit of a selfish ambition into it. This does not come from wisdom. It's not wisdom from God. You need to reveal to people because this is the calling of God. So you must practice. He must be faithful. It's not to show off. If you sense that, if you want to show your wisdom, but if you sense that this may cause people to think you are boasting, you need to reflect. So of course there are some things you need to do. Your boss must also know that what you are doing. Sometimes it's very troublesome. But such a time is, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So try to be harmonious with others. Do not to a person to be a person. The most original person is Jesus Christ. He is righteous, he is gentle. He is not proud. He does not slander others, full of compassion. So the mercy is so we are willing to bear fruit. That means that we are willing to bear fruit means we are willing to do more good works. So you must be upright. So that when people see, they can give glory to God. So God-drivenness is not being quiet and not seeking to help others. If a person is very nervous, keep asking you. And you just quiet and smile. Nobody wants. So what the person, if you just so I ever thought about it. Ever happened to me when the person just smile at me, then you start to think, what is this smile about? What is the meaning of that? Some things we need to start doing, start talking. This is something for us to reflect as well. So when you are anxious about the kingdom of God, this is something that can glorify God. When a person sees that, can see that you love God, when people see that you love God, this is a good culture. So it's something that is positive. It's not just. So things that needs to be quick, you need to do it quickly. Things that need to slow down, you need to slow down. So there's also the priorities of the Lord. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? So, just yesterday, my wife asked me, because she's having some gastric problem, because I'm rushing for work. Just, of course, her work is church matters. She needs some words of comfort. Why didn't you give me words of comfort? This is important. Then I slow down. This is something God wants me to know. People go through certain trials. After this, I replied her, wife, this, of course, but there's a better, so there is a fewer words of comfort. This is in, if you tell her, you don't know how busy I am, is it? So of course, you can't say, don't you know how busy I am? Because according to God's creation principle, sisters are weaker. So brothers cannot be harsh to sisters. This is the law. Sometimes, very very rarely you can say, if she understand, I can understand, that's fine. Actually, the Bible tells us, it tells us, your tongue, the tongue is very important. Chapter 3 talks about the tongue. You can praise God, you can curse people, you can praise God with the tongue. And then we can praise God and curse human beings. How can you do that? The tongue is created by God. So James also talked about this. Do not. So let's look at James chapter 1, verse 27. So religion that that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So what is the... It's the love. The love must be practiced. Do you really love? This is something you need to practice. If you just know, yes, it's pointless. You must apply it. So... there's a lot of benefits. Maturing in faith and practical wisdom. You must grow. Faith must have works and be prepared to do good works. You must do good works. For as the body without spirit is dead, and so with faith without works is dead also. You must prepare to do good works. Faith must have works. So how do you prepare for good works? You need to eat so that you have energy. But very practical. If you need to eat, you need to have. So when you do more, you will crave for carbohydrates because you need the energy. Because when you are prepared to do, you need to go to work. This is where God wants me to be pleased. Please God, so that I can support the family. So this is what God wants us eating to prepare to go work. Sleep. Rest also to prepare to do good works. So in all these things, it's also needed. But you must be in. You must take initiative. You must have a system. You must arrange. You must plan. You must have a timetable. You must have a deadline. If you cannot do it, you need to discuss. Works must prove your faith. So, verse 22, chapter 2, verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? When the law of God says, do not fight, do not quarrel. But the positive way, the phrase positively is you must live in peace. You must discuss. Once there's a bit of flesh, you must slow down. If a person gets angry, you need to slow down and be more gentle. Once a person starts quarreling, it's harder to start talking again after quarreling. Very hard to restore. restore. If there's a tension, you can control first. This is the wisdom. Of course, so faith was working together with his works. It's not that we are not justified by works. The works, the faith without works is not really faith. If you have true faith in Jesus, you will apply, but you are not justified by the works. But then surely faith will have works. But the works will prove your faith. But it's not justification. Romans, Galatians, when it says justified by faith, I think what is what James is talking, how much when your faith grows, your works also will grow. It has to work together. So it's just like walking. If your faith really mature, your actions, your works do not match up, your faith will be affected as well. So James said, do not be, also encourage us not to be discouraged. James also tells, just don't, when all, every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. So if you just pray for the sick, and then if you need wisdom, ask God for wisdom. What James is trying to say, he says, if you go this place, that place, whether it's God's will, then you just leave it to God. You need to make arrangement. You need to plan. If you want to carry out certain, you want to take care of widows and orphans, do you see their movies? Because they have a lot of, how do you care for them? How much love and patience do you have? But he's talking about broader things. It's not just talking about caring for the orphans and widows. Do you have the resources? Because you are afraid of trouble, you don't do it. It's not sometimes you have to wait for everything to be put in place nicely before you start doing. Sometimes it can be messy. But in this mess, you can find a way out. The picture will become clearer and clearer. At the beginning, I mentioned, it looks like a very big, a lot of problems, but if you solve just one problem, maybe 90%, because you help him see the hope. A lot of things are still not resolved, but actually, this is something practical. So you must persevere. You do not. Don't focus on getting rich. After all, doing all these things, It's not for more offerings. It is. But you must raise up workers. You must really equip everyone, the church, such that so that we have a voice in this, we have a voice for this era. If a church, but small church, there's a benefit of the church if it's bigger, that they can have a voice. But in the end, chapter 5, so whoever, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone bring that person back, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. He knows that what he does when he loves God and loves his neighbor as himself, there's a lot of things that he needs to practically do. You need to take care of your family. You have one or two kids. There's a lot of things to take care of. So there are certain things you need to adapt. You need to plan. So you need to plan, you need to study, you need to learn. All these are things. These are all the practical wisdom. The Bible has talked about all these things. So the Bible talks about the righteousness and the guidance of God. So then, let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks, and through today's message, you help us, everyone. Of course, there's a lot of content, but help us to, in our how, Lord, you have how you care for us. You do not just want to save us, but in all the things, you want us to mature in all things. It's not just a principle, but there's in many but so we have this practical wisdom so that we can glorify you. We commit all into your hands and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.